It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 452. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. I have two voicemails that I'm going to get to a little bit later in the show. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. Send me a friend request on Facebook, and that's at facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. Remember to check out the wiki, and that's at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the past shows, links to the audio, links to all of the show notes. Another jam-packed show. I have a couple consulting stories from the trenches. We're going to talk about insurance for your business. Then I have the voicemails and a stack of email in response to past questions and some great comments. So before we get started, you want your websites to load quicker, and you want to make sure that if your DNS provider goes down, you have a secondary route to your website. This just makes sense. It makes good business sense. That is where dyn.com, dyn.com comes in. With outsourced DNS, you can make sure people can get to your website at all times. With managed DNS, you can even connect items like your webcams or a DVR to a private channel that you can pull from at any time. Dyn has service tiers for companies of any size to get started. Dyn serves more than 4 million customers around the world, so stop taking chances with uptime and start talking to Dyn about best-in-class managed DNS. To get faster internet by using Dyn for DNS, visit dyn.com/podcast30. Fill out the contact form or start shopping right away and save 30% by using the promo code podcast30 at checkout. So again, visit dyn.com/podcast30. So I have a couple stories. Last week when I was recording the Mike Tech Show, I had a laptop behind me that I had been doing work, and there was a major infection, and I thought I got rid of the infection, thought I solved the problem by creating a new profile, and everything seemed to be working great, and all I had to do was now activate Malwarebytes Pro, of which I sold them a license. I put Malwarebytes Pro on. Guess what happens? Every couple seconds, I get a pop-up where Malwarebytes is finding an infection trying to, I guess, phone home or go out, and it keeps blocking it, and it keeps coming up, blocking it to remove it, and it's the svchost.exe file. So I'm like, oh, that's it. Time to redo this computer. I've spent way too much time. I got the data backed up. I have the drivers. So time to nuke and pave. But there was one more program that I had not run. And I pull out TDSS Killer by Kaspersky. This is a rootkit finder. I run that and it finds an infection and it says needs to reboot to remove it. I reboot, done. It solved the problem. This is now the second time that TDSS Killer has saved the day. There was a client where his UPS workstation, where he processes all of his packages, and he has a couple of them, and I thought it was clean. Combo fix, ripped out some stuff, but there was still an infection. Everything was slow. I ran TDS Killer. It found a bunch of things, ripped out the rootkit, and away we went after the reboot. So this is now two times. TDSS Killer runs so fast, it's now, in my book, required to run. And here's how when I'll run it. First, I'll throw Combo Fix at it. Then I think you should run TDSS Killer. Then run Malware Blights Pro or Super Anti-Spyware. But it's after you know there's an infection, so now you run Combo Fix, run the TDS Killer, the TDSS Killer, and I'll have a link in the show notes for this. And then remember, after you're done all that, you got to do the repair, so you got to run the tweaking.com's all-in-one repair tool. So we have one more tool that we absolutely have to have in our toolbox, in our repertoire to attack these things. Great question came up in the chat by Grant Tech. He asked, so you run Combo Fix first? This is only when I absolutely know there is an infection. I don't just pull Combo Fix out just to run it, just on my client's word. I have to see the system slow, pop-ups, problems. When we know the system is absolutely infected, then and only then do we run Combo Fix. And in the order of all the things I run, I'm now going to run TDSS, then, just for good measure, Malware Blights Pro, Malware Blights or Super Anti-Spyware or both. But I'll tell you, at that point, after now TDSS Killer, if everything's functioning right, I'm probably running the repair to fix anything that might be broken that's left behind from all these infections. And then I might just let it sit and run, Malware Blights. Grant's right. I don't run Combo Fix unless I know there's an infection. So I was really glad to get rid of that laptop and get it back into my client's hands. It started out on Tuesday. I think it's the longest I've had a laptop in my possession. So I had it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I was able to return it Friday night. That was nice. Now, if you noticed the time when I posted the last Mike Tech show, you would notice, wow, Mike posted that about 3 a.m. on Sunday morning. That was the first time I had to be able to edit the show and post it up. I was migrating a client's email, and I'm not going to go through the details, but it's now another client that I have migrated Exchange Server to a hosted Exchange service called SureWeb. I'm not affiliated with them in any way, but I like their service, I like the process, and I have it down for easily migrating the mail. But you have to be able to run exmerge off the Exchange server, and it will only grab all everybody's mail that's under 2 gig. So I had a couple clients or employees for this client that had mail that was above 2 gigs. So the only way to do that is an export on their local desktop, and that takes time. Once I get all of them exported, I have to FTP them to a holding area at SureWeb, and then when they're all uploaded, I then kick off the migration of those files into the mailboxes that I created. Then there was a bunch of other things to do. I went to bed about 4 a.m., and then Saturday, woke up, had a bunch of clients to do some work for remotely. Then I start migrating their public folders. Oh, that was fun. And had a couple tech support calls there with SureWeb. And they were there to help me, and they resolved the issues with me. And it was actually on their side, a permissions problem. Took care of that. So all of a sudden, by the time I'm done, it's like 1 a.m. and I haven't edited the Mike Tech Show. Sat down, started editing and getting it posted up. Most of my weekend was spent with that mail migration. And it worked great. And now I have lots of experience with SureWeb. Another item that I fixed actually last Saturday, a client called and their bookmarks were somehow scrambled or lost. They totally lost all of their bookmarks from Firefox. Without missing a beat, every night They have a Shadow Protect desktop backup done. I went to Friday night's backup, mounted the backup, and went to the Firefox bookmarks backup folder. Behind the scenes, every day when you use Firefox, the bookmarks are backed up, rotating each day of the week. So I went to Friday's backup. The file is a .json. I copy that file out of the mounted backup, and just, you can put it anywhere. Then I launched Firefox and said, restore from a backup the bookmarks file. Pointed it to that file, it restored everything in seconds. So I wanted to tell that story. You don't always run into that, and it's nice to know that you have those backups that are already there. Taz in the chat says, what about Xmarks? This particular user doesn't use Xmarks. I do, so this way that would never happen with me. This particular person doesn't have Xmarks, and you know, you bring up a good point. That's something I'm going to talk to them about. We have full backups every night. I'm not that concerned. This was just something else I wanted to share. There's several ways you could approach restoring them. This was the one method that I chose because it got me to the latest, greatest bookmarks that they were using. It was recommended by Taz, who's his name's Michael, and he mentioned an app for the iPhone for scheduling for the family called Cozy. I downloaded that for the family. Very cool app. The problem is getting the rest of the family to embrace it. I thought it was very cool. I had Ryan and my wife and Tyler, and well, Tyler's going to be getting his iPhone and my iPhone, and I want to put in there like concerts, any events that we're going to. Ryan, my two sons have strange hours each week for their work hours. So, hey, put your schedule in there. Anything that we have planned, just throw it in there. And now you got one nice group calendar that you can all see and know where what everybody's doing. I love that. And I'm embracing it, but it doesn't work if you're the only one using it. I think in time, I will get the rest of the family to embrace it. Reg in the chat says that it works on the Android as well. Since I linked them in the show, it was interesting. I just seen a tweet from Cozy thanking me for talking about it, and here they're getting 2 weeks in a row. Check out the app. It's free. You do get ads when you're on the web. There's a pro version that goes a little further. I think it's like $29 for the year. That doesn't sound so bad, but I'm not going to commit to the pro version until I know I got the whole family on board editing their schedule. Then it's going to be worth it. Terrell has followed up with an email, and this is going to be the one topic I want to get to before I play the voicemails and then get into all the email. He asked me the question, do I need to get insurance before I start my computer repair business? I wrote back with the simple answer, no. Then he wrote back, why don't I need insurance? So I wrote back and said, it's too detailed for me to put in an email. I will talk about it in the next Mike Tech Show. If you're starting out your own repair business, if it's not a storefront, okay, if you don't have a brick and mortar store and you're just doing this out of your house, maybe even on the side, you are not required by law to have insurance to do computer repair. Now, there are other forms, like if you're an electrician, if you do other kind of work where it's required by law in your state to be insured. To do computer repair, there's no law requiring it. But when it makes sense, you might want to consider the following. For me, I started dealing a couple years ago with more and more expensive hardware, servers, multiple workstation purchases. And I started transporting, you know, thousands of dollars of computer hardware in my car, maybe having them in my house for a couple days before I'm delivering them. It's important to make sure that in case there's a fire, an accident, a theft, that it's covered. So my Car insurance does not cover that. My homeowner's insurance does not cover that extra hardware. So I looked into business insurance a couple years ago to cover that. For me, that was the one factor that made me look at getting insurance, because I didn't think I could afford it before then. I didn't want to take on another payment. So a few years ago when I was looking into it, I was like, well, not only did it get me that, but it covered whether, let's say I make a mistake with a client and they decide to sue me, I'm covered. So now I got some extra benefits, but that was not the motivation to get the insurance. It was because of that extra hardware. So the reason why I'm just talking about all this is everybody who wants to start doing the repair business, they start looking at all these things that they need to do. What do I got to buy? What do I got to do? You know what you got to do first? You got to get clients. So go get them. Spend the time getting clients and getting business. Then everything else will fall in line. Make some money and then go buy insurance. Then go buy more better tools. Then go buy a better laptop. Go buy better equipment to do some more work. Then buy your land testing equipment tools if you're doing networking work. Get the clients first. Do good work and get the business. That's more important. So don't be scared about some of the other things. Yes, you're going to have to go do it. But first, worry about clients, because let me tell you, then the next thing's going to be retention, keeping the clients, because you're going to be at a point where once you have the insurance and you have all these things, well, you got to continue to pay them. So you better have a continuous revenue stream in order to pay for all this. Now, I'm going to let you know, my insurance is not a lot of money. When you look at it, it came out to $50 a month. I mean, that's not a lot of money for the amount of coverage that I got, which I thought was significant coverage. Getting business insurance is not important if you're working out of your house. Now, are you going to have people coming to your house picking up things? They could trip and fall. They could be, you know, your homeowner's insurance may not cover it because you're running a business. Yeah, you might want to have to consider that. If you have a storefront, there's just no question you have to have it. It's like having homeowner's insurance when you have a mortgage. You have to have it. Look at your situation. Look at what you're doing. If you're just doing it on the side and you're just starting out, wait, you may not even be doing this full time. What if it falls through and in a couple months you give it up, you know, hey, then don't get the insurance. Don't worry about it. Let it take off. After 6 months, everything's working, then you do it. So I hope that clears things up and makes it easier for you. Terrell, don't worry about it. Just spend time getting clients. This first voicemail is a comment on the Square service.
Hey, Mike, this is Paul with Little Dog Tech Computer Repair out of West Des Moines, Iowa. I was just listening to your podcast concerning Square Reader, where you just got that fake credit cards. I've been using that for about 3 years now. It is my exclusive form of taking credit cards, and I got to say, I've had very little problems with it, customer service-wise and technically. I use an iPad specifically. I tried Android devices, and I found the interface to be clunky at best, but on the iPads and the iPhones, it's always worked quite well. I've run the numbers compared to merchant accounts. It's a great way to go up until the point where you hit about $18,000 a month. And at that point, it makes more sense to go with a merchant account and deal with their fees and such. But it's just, I've kept it because of the ease of use. And plus, when customers want to pay with a credit card, there's definitely a wow factor there that it lends you credibility towards being a technical kind of person to have that sort of credit card system. So, you know, never really had any problems, customer service or technically, and I love it. I'm probably going to be sticking with it for quite a while now. So that was my feedback, and good luck. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. Great review of and feedback on the Square service. Now that I have it, I've yet to be presented with a credit card for payment. It's sort of like I bought the snow blower and now there's not going to be any more snow. Give a listen to our friend Brian from the UK with a follow-up on alternative to Google Reader.
Hi, Mike. This is Brian from the UK. I just wanted to throw in my recommendation for an RSS reader. Now, obviously, what's going to happen is some of the choices that people make are going to be very personal. And I have a particular criteria, which is that I need my RSS reader to be able to download individual shows. So I need a download link within the RSS reader, just in case I want to download a specific show. So for me, the mobile element isn't so important. And what I want to throw into the mix is Opera RSS reader. Left a message a couple of weeks ago, and I've been using it for that length of time, about a fortnight. And it's very reliable, it's clear, it's well laid out, and it does the job. But as I said, there is no mobile iOS or Android handheld device components to this. But I think the main reasons why I've gone with it is because it's an established company, been around for a long time, who score fairly highly on web compliance, so they're going to do RSS right. Within the RSS reader environment, there is integrated email, which I really like, and my pet favorite is that you have the ability to directly download shows from within the feed, and I'm really quite impressed with it. There are not so many tutorials on YouTube about it, but certainly there's a lot of text on the web about how to import feeds and how to use the service. I think I'm going to run with this one, and I'm looking forward to hearing what other people's alternatives are. Anyway, for not sounding like a broken record, keep up the good work. Anyway, take care, Mike. Bye-bye.
Brian, thanks for taking the time to record that and send it to me. I really appreciate it. Opera. I haven't used Opera in a long time. I know I did when it first came out, when it started challenging all the other browsers and I was looking at it. Hey, give it a try. I would have never thought of that for your RSS reader. So that's great. Great feedback. Thank you. Here's another one. This is from Brandon. And he says, if any of your listeners have Outlook, it may be a viable replacement for Google Reader. I was able to export my feeds and import the resulting XML file as RSS feeds. This might not be an option for everyone, but I thought I would just pass it along. If anyone is interested, here's the steps on how to do it. Export your Google Reader feeds by going to takeout.google.com. Log in with your Google account. Click on the Choose Services tab at the top. Click Reader. Click Create Archive. Google will create a zip file, and when it's finished, just click Download. Unzip the file. Open Outlook, right-click on RSS feeds, and select Import OMPL file. Browse to the directory you unzipped the file and select the subscriptions.xml file. Your new feeds will now appear in Outlook. Thanks so much for the show, Brandon. Brandon, great tip. I love Outlook for my email, at least Outlook 2010. But I know there's an RSS feed, and I've never really embraced it. So here we got another option. So I know in the beginning when you install Outlook and it comes up, do you want to use it for RSS feeds? And I always say no. Here we have an option for trying it out. Certainly, if you are an Outlook user, it's worth looking into. Thanks a lot, Brandon. A reminder that Steve Cherubino has his new Tech Site Builder 2. It's out. And Mike Tech Show listeners can get 40% off. So go to techsitebuilder.com, /MTS, and you're going to get 40% off his incredible Tech Site Builder 2. Check that out if you are going to be building a tech website, or a repair website. So this would be Terrell, who asked about the business insurance. Get a website going. Use the Tech Site Builder for building your new website. This is from Todd, and I read the email about encryption on storage last week, and he says, my email was confusing. What I really was asking is when a technician takes a device home or their store for repairs, do they encrypt the data they back up at their facilities? I hear sometimes they store the information in case the client needs a file and so on. Thanks again for the amazing podcast. And I order a lot from your Amazon link, and I use your link every time. Oh, thank you so much. So no, when I back up data for a client, or if I'm like storing data here in my house, do I encrypt it? No. Should I? Probably just to protect the client's data. Now, I'll give you an example. If I'm holding data, there's a couple clients that I have a contract with that I'm holding data, and I am under contract to protect their data. I actually have a separate fireproof safe that their backup drives are always placed in, or anytime I'm working on any data for them. I'm not kidding. I have a couple of different fireproof safes in my basement for two different clients that I put drives that I'm working on in there. Whenever I'm not working on it, it goes into that locked safe. So we probably should, as technicians, protect the data. If we are going to be storing or housing data for a client, then we should be encrypting it. But I will say this. I will not be storing it for free. If it's just me as a backup, probably not. But if my client is paying me to keep that data, then there'll be a fee for that. And then, yes, there should be an expectation on my part to do everything humanly possible to protect the integrity of that data and to make sure it is encrypted. Good comment from Neil here. I talked about the client that was looking for the 800 number from Dell and ended up at a scam site. When folks search for Dell or HP, have them start with the site Dell or site:HP, then support. So it will search the site. What a great idea. Their top search results will be from the vendor. For example, type site:Dell/support. And you'll get great results. Neil from San Antonio, Texas, great tip. Thank you. This is from Kate. This is a follow-up to Will, and I forwarded to him as soon as I got this email where he was having problems with AOL crashes from his client. Well, Kate found the answer, how to clear the AOL browser and how to clean out some or all of the flash cookies. So I got two great sites from Kate, which I'll include in the show notes. Thank you very much. And then Kate said, oh my God, just shoot me. Apparently there's a version 10 for AOL desktop. I will have a link to that also. This is from Ron. I have been able to clone a large hard drive to a smaller hard drive using Macrium Reflect Free. Also, you can use the free eZeus partition manager on the original drive to get everything smaller first, provided the original drive is empty enough to copy it over. So Ron, excellent, excellent. I'll have those links. This is from Chad, and this is, again, how to move a larger drive with data to a smaller drive. I have tried many free imaging programs, and my favorite for the above task to do this is Drive Image XML. Free for the consumer, home, and use, and completes tasks consistently without issues. It is also fairly clear which drive is source and which is destination drive. software has no issue with copying to a smaller drive. Drive image XML. I believe it was either show 50 or 100. It might have been show 50 that I did a complete show on how to build and use drive image XML. So I embraced that a long time ago, probably about 7 years ago. I've been doing this for 8 years. Check that out. So drive image XML will definitely work and it's free. This is from Michael. I was listening to your discussion about portable scanners, and I have to mention a great app I have on my Android called Cam Scanner. It basically lets you take a photo of a document and saves it as a PDF. But the processing is very impressive. For one thing, it will flatten a page to fill up the whole image, even if taken at an angle. This is great because often you have to take a picture at an angle to avoid a shadow. The program will crop to the page outline and then wrap it so it looks like a normal page. This helped me the other day when I had to stick my cell phone into the chassis to get a picture of the information sticker. The image processing and flattening really helped me make everything legible. I would bet that there is something similar on every platform. Thanks for everything, Mike, and remember to use his Amazon link. You know, Michael, thank you so much. And it's great having some feedback from Android users so we can put that into the show. And yes, Genius Scan, which Tasman and I mentioned this a few weeks ago for iOS, it's great having options for all platforms. And he mentioned my Amazon link as the other listener. And with this last email, thank you so much for using my Amazon link and continuing to use it. And that is amazon.micnation.net. My oldest son called me tonight and he said, Dad, what's your Amazon link? Because I'm over my friend's house and he needs a new router and he's going to buy it from Amazon. And I said, stop. We got to use my dad's link to buy it. And I thought that was awesome. That was right before I started the show. And I said, come on, man, you got to remember this stuff. Amazon.micnation.net. So that is great. And I want to thank everybody for continuing to use that because it really helps support the show and it makes a difference. Thank you so very, very much. This Wednesday, I finally will be seeing Green Day with my oldest son and my youngest son. And we're looking forward to this. This is the rescheduled concert. And I thought, you know what? For the end of the show here, let me play a song. And I had to go through a bunch of songs to make sure that it was clean. And this one is. And this is from the American Idiot CD. And it's Holiday. Give a listen. And then I'll be back to wrap up.
Down like an armageddon flame, the shame, the ones who died with
Green Day from the CD American Idiot. I'll have a link to where you can download all the great CD music from Amazon.com. I want to thank everybody for downloading and listening to the show. I really appreciate it. And if you are celebrating Easter this Sunday, happy Easter. Have a great holiday on Sunday. I wish that to you and your family if you're celebrating. Thank you, everybody. And I will be back next week. Same time, same channel. And that's it. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.